This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is the Thursday. It's not quite the Thursday before Christmas, but it might as well be the Thursday before Christmas because my major client where I work, they are closed the whole week of Christmas. They shut down the building, do some maintenance, all that kind of stuff, and we are told in no uncertain terms that we are not supposed to be there, period. So, hey, you know, there you go. I actually look forward to this time of the year because even when I'm just on vacation and my major client is open, of course, there's always the potential for them to call, which I welcome that because, you know, I'm going to support them any way that I can. They're always running the nightly operation stuff, and so every night I'm signing on and I'm checking, making sure everything ran okay, because I just sleep better if I know that everything ran okay. Vacations are fine, but there's always the potential I'm going to get a phone call, and there's always the potential that something's going to go wrong at night, blah, 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 blah. Well, this next upcoming week, there is not that potential. So, because of that, this is always fun for me. Because I know, they'll be open tomorrow, which is Friday, and so I'll be checking tomorrow night to make sure everything ran okay. But then after that, done. Closed. Done. The drive is going to be a little bit longer than it usually is today. I, as a Christmas present to myself, decided I would finally take all the plastic out of my office at home and my office at my major clients. I would take all the plastic out and I would take it down to the recycling place. I have turned into the official plastic recycler for my little floor of the office. So I've had a couple of bags of plastic bottles that weren't mine in there. I had 1.5 bags of plastic bottles crushed up that were mine from my office at home, and then another bag of bottles that were crushed up that were mine from home. So I had my little car packed pretty full, but it is done. The deed is done. Things have been recycled, and we are ready to start packing stuff up again. This week, I'm not quite finished. I'm just really close to finished. With all the files I am finished. I just haven't uploaded them. I'm finished with all the files for Windfall, The Straight Gate. So that's the print version is done. The copies are ordered that I'm going to give away for people who leave a review on Amazon. That's taken care of. I've got the Kindle version made. I've got the EPUB version made, finally. Oh, this time, maybe I was just distracted or I was rushing. I don't know what the problem was. But man, this time, I was sitting there thinking, what am I doing this for? Specifically the EPUB version. I just got myself in a knot. And then I had a bug. There's a feature in InDesign, and I had run into it before when I reuse an InDesign book or a document, InDesign document. That's how I lay out all my stuff. When I would reuse that and I would go to pour text back in, it wouldn't pour correctly. And I finally discovered that I needed to go ahead and delete a text frame out so that it would... But, man, that was, you know, 45 minutes of... What? What? Come on! This is supposed to be, like, 30 seconds! Why am I taking 45 minutes on this? But then, you know, of course, once you actually figure out why it's doing what it's doing, then it's pretty simple. It's just getting that figured out, why it's doing what it's doing. So, I don't know, tonight, I think I'm uploading files. Pretty sure I'm just uploading files tonight, but tomorrow, I restart the read-through. And do a read-through on what I've got done so far on Windfall, A Seed in Secret. See what I need to kind of thicken out there. And now that I have the straight gate refreshed in my mind, see what I can do there. And then, you know, it's probably going to be 3 or 4 days worth of reread on that. And then maybe a couple of days... vacation, and then boom, then we're going to have to get moving, because I need to have the rest of this manuscript roughed in by March 1st, and I got about another 200 pages to write, at least, so we'll see, and I'm not quite sure exactly how this is all going to work out. I mean, I know I got an idea of where I'm supposed to end up, and I've got all of the pieces in play. All the balls are in the air at this point, but, you know, I've just got to work my way into something that's fun and interesting and exciting, big finish, and all that kind of good stuff, so... So we'll see. The last one, The Straight Gate, didn't necessarily have a big finish, per se. It was more of a kind of a moral conundrum type of a thing. But, you know, it worked out okay. People seemed to enjoy it. And they seemed to like the development, the further development of the characters and how things were beginning to play out. So that'll be fun. Once I get this one roughed in, it'll be 4 down and 20 to go. And I've already started thinking about the next book. In fact, while I was editing book 3, I got to thinking about, oh yeah, and I need to do that, and then I thought, wait a minute, that's book 5. Why am I thinking about book 5? Gotta get 3 done first and out the door, and then you gotta finish 4. But it's been fun. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun. I had breakfast with a buddy today, and we were just talking about life, the universe, and everything, and we got on this subject of, you know, finding something that brings you joy. Doesn't matter whether you can make any money off it or not. Just find something creative that you can do that brings you joy. And just out of the blue, he said how he really enjoys drawing superhero cartoons and stuff. I was like, hey, I would have never guessed that about him. I mean, he can do graphic design and website design and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, it was a cool moment. I was like, hey, there it is. I was just encouraging him, you know, keep doing that. The more you do it, the better you get. Just keep doing it. Get joy out of it. It's good. So, that all is going well. Everything's kind of lined up now for taking a few days off, and my son-in-law and daughter are actually going to be in town for a couple of days next week before they take off for Wisconsin for a few days. So I'm hoping we're going to have some time to spend some time together. So we'll see how that all works out. You know, they've gotten busy since they are pastor and pastor's wife of the church we go to. They have gotten busy. So I'm hoping maybe we'll have a little time. For sure, we'll have Christmas together. And, you know, maybe we'll have some time this next week. Obviously, some of the big news is Star Wars is out tomorrow. They've had their premieres, and the reviews are starting to come out. I think I'm already on slate to go see it with some friends Monday morning. We're hoping that Monday morning, by then, they will have gotten through all the kids wanting to see it, and we're going to go at 10 o'clock on Monday morning to the local IMAX 3D here, and supposedly it's big, huge, and bold, and in charge, and in 3D, so we're going to go see that together, so I'm looking forward to that. That should be fun. And what else? My wife has been working like crazy. She's working like crazy over the last 2 weeks because she had her children's musical and her adult musical on back-to-back Sundays. So the children's musical went really well. She had 42 kids in the choir. The adult musical is coming up this Sunday, and she was working to get some of that stuff put together. But, you know, she's going to make it. She always makes it. She and I have completely different ways of approaching projects. Not completely different, but philosophically different ways of approaching projects. But she gets something done, and it comes out, and it all works out fine in the end. So my job at this point is to say, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And then just hop in, whenever I need to help out. I had one of those hop in last nights where I was helping her get this recorder that I'm actually recording this on. She was borrowing it to do a track, and so I was helping her get that wired up so that she could put a track together that she just couldn't find the right thing on, so she was just doing her own. So anyways, when my wife borrowed my recorder, I had some notes in there that were actually the notes I was going to use last week for episode 350. By the way, this is episode 351. And then last week I decided, we just, talk about life. And she thought they were throwaway notes, so she had taken out and scribbled them on the back, and I said, it is the notes. And she went, oh, sorry. So she got them and she flipped them open when she handed them to me. And she said, oh, female Viagra, huh? I said, yep. Yep. And the fact that it misses the point, which is the title of the article. And as soon as I read the title of the article, female Viagra misses the point, I thought, yep, yes it does. And I found this interesting. The author of the article was talking about how in the winter of 1998, he hosted a lunch for the contributors to Erotica Review magazine. I don't know what that magazine is, but I can't imagine. He said, where an ebullient barrister, now judge, turned up rattling a bottle of bright blue pills. Black market Viagra, he announced, with a glint in his eye. Who wants one? Said, most of the men present graciously accepted this gracious offer. I don't think I would take that at a luncheon. But, you know, it was for Erotic Review magazine, so maybe that makes sense. While the women said no, as my colleague Annie said dryly, it doesn't really get the lasses going, does it? And, of course, as you can imagine, they did test Viagra on women, and there wasn't much there. When they did test it, they said, much to the surprise of pretty much nobody, it was found sexual function or dysfunction in female patients has as much to do with the mind as the workings of the body. Yay and verily. So, however, now that we are in 2015, which, when was this article put out? Did I have a date on it? I did have a date on it. So this article came out in August, on August the 17th. So this was a couple of months ago. A couple of months ago, the Food and Drug Administration looks set to follow its advisory panel's lead in approving flibanserin. Flibanserin. That's something that rolls off the tongue. Dubbed female Viagra by the press. Supposedly, it helps in the treatment of hypoactive, as in hypo, low, hypoactive sexual desire disorder, HSDD, which, according to the writer of the article, is the natty new terminology for female sexual, quote-unquote, dysfunction. And he's going to come back to that in a minute because it's really important that we put that in quotes. So anyways, what happened is they were testing this drug for something else, I think depression or something, it was an antidepressant, and then some of the women that were testing this in the subject of clinical trials reported slight increases in sexually satisfying events, anecdotally. In other words, any form of sexual act deemed gratifying by the participant, regardless of whether they reached orgasm or not. Okay, so you had this study for an antidepressant, and in filling out the questionnaire, some of these women, maybe because they might have been feeling a little better, reported slightly more sexually satisfying events. So, as the testing went on, you know, they found out that the drug really, really wasn't that good of an antidepressant, but they surmised that the drug, modified the effect of neurotransmitters dopamine and norepinephrine something, key agents in arousal, while curtailing sexually inhibitory serotonin. So, you know, okay, so maybe there's some slight effect. And by slight, we do mean slight. So he said, in clinical trials, once they finally decided to test just for this, to see if they had found the female Viagra, once they decided to test just for this, in clinical trials, women only reported 0.5 to 1 extra sexually satisfying events in a given month than those taking the placebo. Not surprisingly, the placebo also made certain participants, according to the article, feel a wee bit more frisky. Okay, so on the basis of this, they decided they would push this drug, this flibanserin, as the female Viagra. You know, never mind the fact that it has some very unpleasant side effects. So, dizziness, nausea, fatigue, fainting, insomnia, worrying, drops in blood pressure when combined with alcohol. nor has anyone actually tested the effect of the drug on pregnant women. You know, it's not hard to see why the FDA Safety Advisory Committee turned it down twice since 2010 because of A, its lack of effectiveness, B, frequent side effects, and C, long-term safety concerns. Oh, okay. So, why now? It's a valid question. Why now, then? Well, there's been a vocal pro-licensing lobby. You know, because after all, men have Viagra. Where's the drug for women to solve this problem? This is institutionalized sexism. The drug companies have not developed a pill to fix us. Aha. So, even so, if you got something that even has a moderate benefit, the FDA is feeling this pressure and they're like, eh, we better approve this thing. So, you know, there you go. What's interesting about this, they go on to report in the article, make very valid points, is that to cure a sexual disorder, which is what this is being touted as a cure, they said you have to have a widespread condition that's easy to recognize and diagnose in the first place. This helps explain why in the 1990s the term female sexual dysfunction began to be bandied about in the press. The condition had appeared in medical dictionaries as early as the 1970s, but it was something of a catch-all disorder used to describe one or more of the following symptoms: recurring inability to feel, desire, or achieve sexual arousal, pain during intercourse, diminished blood flow to the vagina, and an inability to achieve orgasm. So everything was getting grouped in this. And I'm losing my light, so I gotta finish this up real quick. Amazingly enough, just as we start getting this bandied about, that there is this thing now that we're identifying as female sexual disorder, or what is it? Female sexual dysfunction. You know, said just as the corporations desperately needed women to start recognizing, I'm getting my mail, to start recognizing their own supposedly burgeoning erotic dysfunction, a headline-grabbing survey surfaced. Sexual dysfunction in the United States was published in 1999, announcing to a credulous world that 43% of women suffered from FSD. And Oprah Winfrey duly called the findings a silent epidemic. Okay, so there was a book that was written by a guy named Roy Moynihan. According to Roy Moynihan, writer of the British Medical Journal article FSD, The Making of a New Disease, who went on to write the book Sex, Lies, and Pharmaceuticals, two of the authors of the report had links to the drug industry. So, this report that supposedly announced that there was this great new, you know, epidemic that we need everybody to be aware of so that we can solve this thing. Yeah, two of the people on this report work for the drug companies. Well, it's not hard to imagine that they would want to see a new drug being manufactured. And it's not hard to imagine that they would be campaigning to get it through, because that's how drug companies make money. One moment, backing into my garage here. Then I have to get my flashlight out so I can see the rest of my notes. Hold up. Because I did the recycling, you know, so put the garage door down. I will take out my trusty phone which is also a handy-dandy flashlight. Cell phones, smartphones, is there anything they cannot do? Which I'm definitely going to need it now because it's getting dark. Okay, so anyways, so a guy wrote this article, went on to write a book. He said that two of the authors of the report had links to the drug industry. He also said, quote, when you look at the proportions of women experiencing these sexual difficulties frequently, the numbers collapse. Nevertheless, the mythical 43% became and remained one of the quoted statistic whenever FSD or HSDD was mentioned. You know, okay, so, you know, and he goes on to talk about blah, 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 and he brings out some really good points. He says, after all, no one can begin to say what normal female sexuality entailed. How many orgasms should a woman have a month, or how strong should your desire be? Can you expect libido to be as fierce 10 years into a marriage as in the honeymoon period? Would they feel plenty of lust if Brad Pitt whisked them off to a luxury hotel suite? Has anyone tried relationship counseling with research subjects before they were offered a pill? And there is a lady who was a filmmaker that was making this stuff, and she got concerned after she started making this and turned skeptical. And he said Canner was the name of the woman, was at the FDA hearing in June and remains as skeptical as ever. In an email exchange, she pointed out, quote, it is interesting to note that 69% of the patients on flibanserin stayed in the study while 48% on the placebo remained. So, in her words, maybe we should just consider selling women a placebo. Now, what is more concerning is Canner goes on to say that, quote, millions of us may now be deceived into taking a drug that doesn't work much better than a glass of wine or two and could potentially be seriously harm us. And the guy concludes the article by saying, sadly, I hear few will be able to hear her warnings for the drug company's deafening cry, we've struck gold. So supposedly now, you know, we're going to be in a situation where all you got to do is just buy this drug and take this pill, and suddenly it's going to solve female sexual dysfunction. Except that nobody can really say what is or is not dysfunctional in terms of a female's sexual experience. And certainly, in my own little opinion, you absolutely cannot try to compare a man's sexual experience with a woman's sexual experience because our bodies function so differently. But of course, the marketplace doesn't care about that. All it cares about is there some marketing advantage that we have here? Is there something we can do to convince people you really need to take this? Because this will solve all your problems. Interestingly enough, if they say that enough and it's a big enough drug company, it will help some people. But it's not really because of the drug. It's because people's own minds will help them. And as long as we expect women to be the same as men in any area, specifically in this area, in terms of sexual function and the approach to sex, I mean, this is never going to work. As long as we do not factor in this foundation of fear and the turmoil that creates, there isn't going to be a solution. As I've said in the past, it's so sadly amusing to me that men spend so much time trying to figure out what the magic formula is so that their wives would want to have sexual intercourse or just any kind of an intimate experience with them as much as they do. But the fact is, we're wired different. We've always been wired different. We always will be wired different. And a woman's intimate experience is bound up within the turmoil that that fear brings. And that's why she's more easily distractible. You know, that's why it takes longer to kind of move and shift into the mood. And you have to factor that in, and you have to validate that as being part of the experience. And it certainly doesn't do you any good to, you know, act like women are just supposed to be the same as men. And I can tell you right now, if you are a husband, it will be absolutely the wrong approach for you to be pestering your wife and asking, why can't you, why don't you love me, don't you put up, you know, all that stuff, because it's not about that. It's about that foundation of fear, and it's about that turmoil. And if you cannot accept that and live within the experience that that creates, you're just going to spend a whole lot of time being really frustrated. Because life and love and marriage is about trying to understand your partner. It is about accepting your partner. And it is working in whatever definition that the two of you create together. Because that's really what your marriage ends up being. It is what you create together, not what someone else tries to force the relationship to become. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home. Happy holidays, everyone.